100 days on the place, yeah, man. It's a kick it, you know. That's right.
Yeah, me rolling and rock it to the beat, and me love the sound.
Oh, Chess, you can mess with the sound. Better grab your girl, your posse, and gather round.
Yeah, me rolling and bobbing and going like a mad man. Oh, the man got the sweet day off and 19 no long, so me say.
Hey, hey, it's Digital Sister, and I'm back. Thanks to my new friends in Glasgow, Scotland, and in India. Can you imagine? Digital Sister's not only hitting Europe, but we're beginning to make some inroads in Asia with downloads in Malaysia and now India. So that's pretty exciting. Thanks for tuning in, and thank you for continuing to pass the podcast around. Let me start with the astronauts. Isn't that something that we have two black astronauts in space? I think that that's pretty incredible. Her name is Joan Higginbotham, and she's the third African-American woman to travel to space. And we have Robert Kerbeam, who has done a couple of trips to space. So I think it's just wonderful that in 50 years since NASA was created by Congress, that we actually have two black astronauts aboard a space mission. And they're doing some pretty intricate work, repairing some rewiring at the space station and all of that. So I just think, man, how exciting is that? And I think it just reinforces that, especially to our young people, that you can think big, you can dream big, you can think about things you might want to do, and then put yourself on a path to accomplish it, you know, be it with your guidance counselors, with your family, whomever. But it just lets them know that that a career such as that, which was totally off limits to them many, many years ago, is now open to them, providing they get the right education, you know, in engineering and that sort of thing, to have the background that NASA would require. But I just think it's just wonderful, and I'm so proud of them, and it'll be interesting to see what they do when they come back, you know, what kind of speaking engagements they get, where will they be seen. But I say, hey, kudos, congratulations, and be safe. We are so very proud of them that they were able to be selected and to actually go into space as part of the team. So I hope they're safe, and we're just excited about that. Oh, wow. Did you hear about Stallone and the Tupac Biggie movie that he was going to do? He's been kind of involved in this project. It's called the Tupac Biggie Project, for about 4 years. And apparently now the film is not going to be made. And Stallone was intending to direct it. And what he discovered was, in doing the research and putting this together, is that, you know, they were two giant rap stars, you know, who were cut down at the peak of their career. And not only that, but apparently they were murdered in front of numerous witnesses, yet no arrests have ever been made. And they were gunned down, you know, Tupac 10 years ago, and Biggie's almost 10 years too, but yet still no arrests have been made. And interestingly enough, what Stallone said in his mind after doing this research and finding this information, that he said he figures there had to be some very important people who were involved, you know, not that they pulled the trigger per se, but that they were somehow involved behind the scenes in this situation occurring, and in this situation never being solved, or at least never finding people, you know, who were there and saw it, who would be willing, you know, to step forward and testify. So it is kind of, I agree with him, it is kind of odd that you have all of this, but then there's no kind of information. And I also think, you know, going back when we talk about some of the other situations, the rappers, like with Busta Rhymes, you know, and the whole no snitching that's been a big trend right now, that I've seen kids here in Cleveland wearing T-shirts about that, and big time in Baltimore about that. But, you know, that might be a factor, too, that people just are not going to talk, you know. And it could be a factor that there are some important people involved, but it could be a factor that people are just not going to talk to the cops because of the no snitching code. But in any event, he's not going to be doing the movie, and the movie's not going to be made. And the other reason that he thinks it probably will not be made is the number of potential lawsuits that probably would come about if it was made. So he's going to have to let that go for now. You know, that's been 4 years out of his life, and that nothing will happen. But I think, you know, I kind of wish, probably like many people, that maybe the story would get made so that we could learn a bit more about what happened, and maybe learn a bit more about those two young men, other than, you know, what we have seen in magazines and with their albums, but just to learn more about what actually happened. And look, they've been gone 10 years, and people are trying to get a movie done to tell that story, but it's not happening. But if you look at Bobby and the story of Bobby Kennedy that Emilio Estevez has done, which I understand is a very good movie, I mean, Bobby's been dead almost 40 years, and it's taken 40 years for someone to, I guess, have the access, the permission of the family, to just get the project done. It's taken a very, very long time. And as we wonder about what could have become with Tupac and Biggie, a friend of mine told me after she saw Bobby, "You're left there wondering what could have been if Bobby were elected president back in 1968. Because really, he was really, I think, the last kind of candidate that had some affinity, some understanding, some empathy, some compassion for the disenfranchised, you know, be it black or white. He was someone that connected with that group, and, you know, people loved him for that. And you're left wondering and longing, what would have been? What would the country have been like had he become president? Because until there was Bill Clinton, someone who wasn't born, you know, filthy rich and all of that, that's pretty much the presidents that we've had. You know, many of them started out poor, but they became, you know, very wealthy along the way. And then we had some who started out wealthy from the very beginning. But in any event, you're left wondering with Tupac and Biggie, what might have been, and then with Bobby, what might have been for the country? How would our values have changed? Would we be on the track that we are now? Would the conservatives have come into power like they did back in the early 90s? So it's interesting. You're kind of left wondering what would have been if they were still alive. Tupac, Biggie, and Bobby. Oh, I just think Russell Simmons is doing some pretty, pretty neat stuff. Very interesting that he has his jewelry company, and called Simmons Jewelry Company, and he's doing something I think that's very, very interesting, because he's going to take 25% of his profits from this jewelry company, and he is going to donate, you know, 25% to this green initiative, and it's going to go into the Diamond Empowerment Fund to support institutions such as schools, colleges in South Africa and Botswana. And I think that's great, because it's not 5%, it's not 15%, it's 25%, which is a substantial amount. So I think that's really great that he, as well as like Jay-Z and, you know, Angelina Jolie, George Clooney, Bono, you know, these are people that are calling attention to the needs in Africa, and they're being creative as to how to help and solve them. I mean, look at Apple. They have the red iPod, the red Nano, that when you buy that, proceeds from that go directly to help programs in Africa and things like that. So I think it's great, and I hope that more and more people will do creative things like that and share the wealth, you know. And I also think it's great that we have more of the news that is picking up and bringing us more information about Africa. And we're seeing films, you know. We have Blood Diamond with Jaimin Hansu, Leonardo DiCaprio. But there are stories about black Africans and what's going on versus years ago when it was films like Out of Africa, which is basically, you know, a film about white people in Africa. And so myself, I'm going to Ghana in February, and I'm so excited because I have a chance to be part of this movement also, which I think is very, very exciting. No, I don't have the resources of Russell Simmons or anything like that, but I think it's great that I'm going there, and I'm going to have a chance to go with my friend Yvonne, and we're going to be looking at how we can help in terms of building schools for some of the kids in Ghana, in Accra. I believe that's where we will be spending most of our time. But I feel like I'm part of that movement, too, that is bringing greater awareness to the plight of the people in many of the countries on the continent of Africa, but then actually going there and doing something to make a difference and to make a change. So I say kudos to Russell Simmons, kudos to Jay-Z, and you know the other people I mentioned, Angelina Jolie, Bono, George Clooney, all of these people who are raising awareness of the plight and figuring out creative ways that they can use their celebrity and their wealth to help solve a lot of the issues and just to help make life a little better for folks in those countries. Now, I don't know about you, but have you heard about this white drag queen named Charles Nip? And he does this character in blackface called Shirley Q. Liquor, and the definition that she calls her character is that, you know, Shirley is a, what did she say? It's kind of funny that she is a inarticulate black welfare mother of 19 children, and apparently, I guess her routine is so inflammatory to many people that the concert dates are, you know, they're secret, and you know they're given little locations on the internet about where she's gonna perform. He, she, whatever is gonna perform. It seems like these performances go well down in the South, but I think some people up north are having a little issue with it. And I saw his video on YouTube. I personally thought it was funny because, you know, let's dig deep. If we look at our families, all of us have some kind of character like Shirley Q. Liquor in our family, if we're really honest about it. So it's not like it's some far-fetched thing. But I do thoroughly understand the detractors of this because of the issue of blackface and the negative connotation, you know, that it's had for so many years, much like the N-word, you know, that Michael Richards blurted out in his comedy routine. So I see, you know, both sides of the story. And I think on some hand, you know, sometimes when we see things like that, it might help us to look at the people better, depending on your personality. Now, if you happen to be, you know, a Klansman and just a diehard racist, you know, this is going to fit right in with how you think about black people and black women anyway. But if you're a thinking person and you don't get too bent out of shape about it, you will see that, to me, he's an actor, you know, who happens to be a drag queen, who happens to have found a character that works for him, because he's getting this publicity, he's getting a TV show on the Logos Network, and he's working with RuPaul, going to be in RuPaul's new movie, which is called, what is this called? It's called, just a minute, I gotta find the name because it's too comical. I'll come back to that in a moment. But, you know, he's gonna have this person in his movie. And so, you know, he doesn't seem to have a problem with it. He doesn't think it's a problem at all. So I think, hey, if RuPaul, who doesn't have a problem with it, then, hey, I'm all for it. So, you know, again, I just think you have to take it with a grain of salt, and just look at it for what it is. And I guess the difference is probably, you know, when Michael Richards let out his rant at the comedy club, he was directing it specifically at people in a very vicious kind of way. I think with this situation with Shirley Q. Liquor, it's a character, and it's not attacking someone per se or attacking a group of people in a vicious way. So, you know, I guess the jury's out on this. To me, I just think it's a character that works for him. And I know the negative connotations that go with it. But like I said, if RuPaul doesn't have a problem with it, I don't have a problem with it either. I thought it was funny. But not everybody is going to think that. So just keep that in mind. Now, oh, check this out. I have to say condolences to the family of Elizabeth Lizzie Bolden from Memphis, Tennessee, because she just passed away at the ripe age of 116. Can you imagine? I know I can't, but I just think, yo, she made the Guinness World Book of Records, all kinds of things. And basically, it seems like she had pretty good health up until 2004 when she had a stroke, and apparently that stroke, you know, took away her speech, so she didn't talk a lot too much after that, and she slept a lot, probably because of age. But I mean, for the most part, it seems that she had a pretty long and healthy life. But I think the thing that is just most amazing is her legacy, because this year she had 40 grandchildren, 4-0. She had 75 great-grandchildren, 150 great-great-grandchildren, 220 great-great-great-grandchildren, and 75 great-great-great-great-grandchildren. I mean, that is the size of a little village or the size of a little town, you know, in the South. I mean, I just think that's mind-boggling, but it speaks to her longevity, and it probably speaks to her love of family. And, I mean, what a great situation that she lived that long and probably was able to see, you know, most of the family. So I just thought, wow, what a wonderful story. I mean, we're sad that she passed away, but the history that she left behind is probably something very important that their family is going to treasure for the rest of their lives. Now let's look at Quincy Jones. I have loved him for as long as I can remember, his fine, fine self. And he's being given an honor by Harvard University as the Mentor of the Year for all of his work that he's done and you know, the nurturing of careers that he's done. So I just think, wow, how exciting is that to receive such an accolade, you know, at that stage of your life. And not just an accolade related to music, but this is an accolade related to human interest and to the spirit of human development. So I just think it's really, really cool that Quincy is still being recognized, you know, at 73. I think it's wonderful. I think it's absolutely wonderful. And let's talk about his great friend, Chaka Khan, who has a foundation and is doing some very interesting things with her foundation. She has started an essay contest for $1,000, and the topic is How Violence Has Affected My Life. and it's going to be read on the stage from the winner. And she's partnered with Boys and Girls Clubs and local middle schools, and it's going to be held at Faithful Central Bible Church Tabernacle in Inglewood, California on December 16th. And so Chaka Khan has the program, which is called Chaka Khan Promotes Peace, to really steer kids away from gangs and just helping at-risk youth, you know, get on another path. And it's an extension of her program, Chaka Believes, Going On to College, which is another education program that she has. But the treat of it all is whoever the grand prize winner is going to have a chance with their family, with their parents, to have dinner and meet Chaka Khan. So I just think that's extremely exciting. So I'm going to just try and see if I can figure out a way to contact her and perhaps do an interview of her on my radio program, because, again, she's doing something really, really wonderful. And let's look at Young Jeezy. He, too, has a $1,000 essay contest going on. The entries had to be in December 4th, and the winner will be notified December 8th. But his contest, his essay contest, is to write about what inspires you. And I think that's wonderful that he found a topic that the youth will think about, because, you know, to think about something positive, the people or the situations that inspire you to do good things and to stay on the right track. I think that's creative, and I think that's good, because what he's doing subconsciously is making a lot of black kids, very often who don't think they have a future or there's nothing out there for them, he's getting them to start dreaming and to think about the positive people that do come in their path that they should recognize and be thankful for that are there. So I think that's really great. And his contest is part of a promotion for his new, they call it second installment, second thug installment, after last year's hit, Get It? Thug Motivation 101. So I think, you know, that's cool. I hope that more and more of the rappers with the resources will reach out and do more of these types of programs. And I hope they expand it, that it's not just for, you know, college students and youth. Maybe they could do something, I'm sorry, not just for high school and junior high, but maybe there's something they could do for college students or even something for adults, because, you know, a lot of adults have dreams that may not have happened or they had to put aside. So, I mean, they have, you know, desires and wishes too. So I hope that many of the entertainers that have these programs will, you know, expand, not just stay on one group, but maybe make it something, make a dream come true for everybody. But how cool that he's doing that. And I hope more of them step out of the box and do that also. Now, what's up with Carmen Bryan? You know, this is Nas's baby mama. And what's up with that? Because to me, it seems like the only claim to fame that she has is that she was Nas's ex and had, you know, a baby by Nas. You know, I don't think she's done anything. I'm not sure that she's a singer or anything like that. But her claim to fame is that, you know, she screwed around with a couple of rappers, and now she's written a tell-all book. Now, the book is called It's No Secret, From Nas to Jay-Z, From Seduction to Scandal, A Hip-Hop Helen of Troy Tells All. So she probably is also a bit full of herself. I mean, I don't know her because I haven't met her, but she's been on, you know, some of the hot radio stations in New York, the hip-hop stations, you know, talking about it, creating the drama, you know, and Nas has been on to talk about it. So she's getting her 15, you know, minutes of fame with this book. But I'm wondering, okay, after this dies down, what's she going to do next? Is she going to have anything to write about, or will she just be turning out more information about the people that, you know, she slept with and kicked it with? So just be careful out there. If you're somebody and you're a celebrity and you're screwing around with lots of people, you just never know who's going to turn around and write a tell-all book about you. So, you know, have to be very careful about what you're doing and who you're doing it with. Well, I think that's about it for tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate you listening and passing the podcast around. You know, when you have a moment, give me a call at 206-309-7325. And particularly if you have any opinion about the drag queen, because I'm very curious to see what people think about that and how they feel about that. But, you know, leave me a message and let me know what you think. So I want you to have a great week, and don't let the holidays stress you out too much. If you can, just simplify and just kind of step back for a moment and think about the things that you're thankful for. You know, maybe you have some good friends, good family. Those are the things that, you know, you should be thankful for too. Don't just look for the presents and the gifts. If you get one, that's great and it's wonderful. But if you don't, you know, just think about the fact that you're healthy, you're living, and that you can still make your dreams come true. So on that note, I'm going to sign out. I hope you have a great week. Digital Sister signing out. Take care. West side, we're riding. West side, the West side, the West side.